This is RV on Business.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 8 minutes past 11. Thank you so much for joining me on the RV on Money show. And we are sandwiched between Yom Yerushalayim, which was last Friday, and Shavuot, the Festival of Tabernacles, I think it's called, coming up this Friday. And we are really in a great space in Israel. The weather is great, starting to get really hot now. I know South Africa has had plenty rain, and unfortunately with that has come quite a bit of destruction. But rain is always good. We just need to know how to manage it correctly, not that that is always possible. What I want to discuss today is a continuation from our show last week. Last week, we're starting to answer a lot of the different questions you had on investments. And we got to a certain point and we ran out of time. There were a lot of questions come in. So what I want to do today is to continue on that and to maybe just clarify one of the two points that came out from last week. To take a step back, when one looks at an investment, one needs to understand there are different types of investments that are designed to produce different results and are designed for different purposes. So a retirement investment is designed to help someone with retirement, as is clearly indicated in the name. Could be a pension fund, a provident fund, which doesn't say retirement, but we know that's what they're for, a retirement annuity. Those three have their own set of rules that get lumped together, so to speak, and they are there particularly to help people put money away for retirement. Then you've got medium-term investments, and those are products like endowments, where you've got a 5 to 10 year window as to when one invests in those investments. And that is really for the longer term. It has certain tax implications, so one must just be aware of that when you go into it. And then one can go into what we call unit trusts, which are a lot more flexible. They are called flexible investments at certain investment houses. And those allow you to go in, to go out, to start and to stop. However, there's a thin line between investing and saving. And the difference is risk and time. If you're somebody who wants to put away 1,000, even 10,000 Rand a month, you want to see that money start to grow from day one. And number two, you want to be able to have access to that money at any time. Then that's in a savings account that you're looking for. You're looking to put money away for a short period of time where you will attract positive growth on the money. There'll be no risk involved in it, and you can have access to it. The moment we talk about the word investment, time comes into it, and risk comes into it. So if you are thinking of putting away money now for your December holiday and you want to be as aggressive as possible to try and make as much money as possible, you are being very, very foolish, because that's not the way it works. There's not enough time for the risk to be mitigated, for the investment to grow, for the costs associated to be worked out the system. You're looking for a savings account. Something where you know what you're going to get, it's predictable. The only time it will change is if the repo rate changes, if the changes the interest rate. Otherwise, you're going to be in a bank, you know what you're going to get. You can almost calculate it to the cent. If you know what the costs are, what you should get out at the end of that period. And you don't have to have sleepless nights about market movements, Iran, politics in South Africa, what's happening across the border. It's irrelevant, because you're going to get a fixed rate. And again, as I said, the only time that'll change is if the investment, say if the interest rate changes, and that'll either go up or it'll go down. And they're very, very seldom shocks, because the interest rate is cyclical. It's an upward curve and a downward curve. It tends to hit the bottom, and they'll say interest rates are bottoming out. In other words, they have to start pushing interest rates back up in order to curb inflation, or they are dropping interest rates in order to encourage people to spend money, because it's cheaper to borrow money, which allows you to spend more, which gets the wheels of the economy moving. But regardless of which type of investment you go into, I want to use the same example as I used last week because I had quite a few questions about it. If you take a standard car, Toyota Corolla, you can get a 1.3, a 1.6, and let's say a 2 liter. Same body, same interior. In other words, same investment vehicle. But the one is going to be very conservative. The 1.4 is going to be a bit sluggish, a bit irritating. People are going to overtake you on the highway. You're going to get frustrated. Why can't I go so fast? But maybe when you turn the corner and you see the person who sped past you has come off the road, you'll be grateful that you couldn't go so fast and that your investment was conservative. Then you can go to the extreme. You can be that guy who zooms past you and who came off the road. And you can say, you know what? I'm happy to go fast. And I'm happy to come off the road from time to time. In other words, as there's volatility, as there's international events or local events that affect the stock market locally or internationally, I'm happy to go up and down with that. I can stomach that. And then there's the person in the middle who says, you know what? I can't handle chugging up hills, but I don't need to break any land speed contests either. Just want to be in the middle. I'm happy to sacrifice a little bit of upside, a little bit of speed at times, but I also don't want to sit and say I should have been in the market by being too conservative. And those are in the middle. And you'll often find when you speak to a financial advisor, an investment specialist, they'll say 1 to 10, 1 being money market and 10 pure being a pure equity or even a pure equity offshore fund. And I'll give you a range in between. So that's just to put it in layman's terms so that people can understand how things work, how they are invested, and how they go in different categories when we are investing. The next thing that we need to understand is that, and this is something I hear all the time and I hear consistently, and it is very, very valid. You might go to a financial advisor who works at a particular investment house, Momentum, Sanlam, whoever it may be, and they say to you, this is the investment, and these are the funds that fit into your risk profile as a moderate investor, and here are three Momentum funds. And you'll turn around and you'll say, okay, well, can't I have an Allan Gray fund? Or can't I have an M&G fund? Or can't I have a Ford fund? And the answer will be yes, you can. However, if we use internal funds, there might be a cost advantage to you. So you need to look at that. And that's called the LISP platform and the different investment houses that come in. So you can have a Toyota Corolla, but you can have a Nissan engine or a Mazda engine. Still a Toyota Corolla, it's still an endowment. But if you are at investment house A, you could use investment house B's engine in it. And there are sometimes advantages to using the in-house portfolios, and sometimes it doesn't make a difference. And those are the things that you need to look at. And sometimes by diluting it a little bit with what they call outsourced investments, it really doesn't make too much of a difference, and you should have a look at it. So that gives you an idea as to how it works. So if a person says to you, I'm with Allan Gray, okay, great. Allan Gray, what type of investment? Oh, I don't know. But they told me I can't touch my investment until I'm 55 or 65. Okay, then it's a retirement policy, which means that you're not taxed on any of the growth. There's no capital gains tax in that policy. And you get a tax deduction. All of a sudden says, you know, I just put in as and when I want. And from time to time, very infrequently, I draw out. And then they discuss with me which funds I should draw from. That most probably is a flexible investment. And again, depending on what it is, but let's say an inflexible investment, you can have a portion offshore, a portion locally, a portion in equities, a portion in cash. and you can have all this in one type of investment. So you can have your 1.6 liter engine, but you can have a portion of it that performs very well over 60 kilometers an hour. A turbo kicks in, and that will maybe be your offshore proponent. I think my muscle, my analogy is running a bit thin, but that just gives you the idea as to how you can put different funds into the same portfolio. One thing we've got to be careful of, and this is what we discussed last time, is the correlation of your funds. And the correlations of your funds is a little bit complicated. I'll explain it at the moment we come back from the break. So please don't go anywhere. We will be with you shortly.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. And before we get back into investing, I just want to let you know that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. Better health starts here. And just to also let you know that Chai FM wants to hear from you. Chai FM is updating our voice of Chai. We need you and we need your voice to do this. Send us a voice note, 30 seconds and less, and tell us why you're part of a Chai FM community. What keeps you listening? What does the station mean to you? Send a voice note to 061-895-1019. That's 061-895-1019. We cannot wait to hear from you. So we were talking investing just before we went to the break, and what we were talking about is about correlation. And correlation is where you have funds that have the same sort of mandate. In other words, let's take it very broadly that they need to have 30% in South African equities, and the balance needs to be spread over cash, gilts, and bonds. Don't worry too much about what those classes mean. And now you've got an Allan Gray that has one, and a Momentum, and a Discovery, and a Sanlam, and a, I don't know, a Foord that all have these funds, and that's what they're called balance funds. So your attitude is, you know what? I'll hedge my bets. I'll buy 25% of four of them. And then I'll have a portfolio that'll have like the best performing balance funds in it. That makes sense to a point. But what happens if your fund managers in two of those funds have almost identical asset allocation? In other words, they've chosen almost identical funds to invest your money into. Then you're duplicating an opportunity that you could have, you're duplicating the two funds, and you're giving up an opportunity that you could have to diversify elsewhere. And that is the really important thing. Many, many years ago, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, there was an RMB balance fund and there was an Allan Gray balance fund, and there was an Investec balance fund, funnily enough. And the three of them went very, very well together. They were not correlated. They held different philosophies. They held different asset allocations within them. And it was really, really important when you put those funds together to understand how they worked. And I'm specifically using funds that I know are no longer correlated or no longer around, because this is not advice. This is simply giving you an idea as to how these all work and how they all work together. So the more funds does not always mean less risks. Sometimes they just mean more complexity. What am I talking about there? Yes, I've just read that note that I made there, but what does that simply mean? Sometimes you'll look at someone's portfolio and you'll get the statement, and there'll be pages literally of different funds. Every company, three or four funds in each one, the fund is just got 20 different funds. The investment has got 20 different funds in it. And there's very smart software that we can use today, But somebody who's been around for a while and knows this stuff will be able to look at it and just say, this is an absolute dog's breakfast. Let's take a retirement fund, for example. If you end up with a plethora of funds, 50% are aggressive and 50% are very conservative. Where are you going? I always use the example, it's like trying to plow with a tractor and a Ferrari. They just don't work together. There's no combination between the two. So your attitude might be, well, one will give me stability and strength, and the other one will give me speed and flexibility. And together you get chaos. Doesn't work that way. I mean, it's like going to a doctor or to a physio and saying, I've got a pain in my ankle. And he says, which one? And then you say, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure which one it is. Okay, is it the inside or the outside? And your aunt says, well, I don't really know. It's sort of everywhere. And instead of going down and prodding and pushing and maybe doing an X-ray or ultrasound, they just treat both ankles with the same blanket approach. What a waste of money. You've paid for an hour worth of physio that's maybe giving you 10 minutes worth of proper treatment. Rather sit down, unpack that investment. First of all, look, how long are you investing for? Do a risk profile. As we said last week about little kid walking into the pizza shop. How big are your eyes and how big is your stomach? How much risk do you want to take and how much risk can you tolerate? Thirdly, what are the costs of all those funds? And if you break it down like that, you will find that you will end up with far fewer funds, far more efficiency. You might even be able to track the funds and see which ones are performing at what rates. So, for example, you might say to your investment specialist, I know we are in a moderately conservative portfolio, but I'm seeing that my conservative portfolio, for example, my income funds, are doing better than the moderate portfolios that you put me into. Why is that? And the answer might be, well, there's the portion of equities in those conservative funds, even though they're low and even though they are conservative, have taken a knock in the market and interest rates are high, and therefore your income funds have performed sterlingly over this period, and therefore that's why it's looking like that. Plausible, understanding, and just makes sense when you look at it like that. And that is the importance of making sure that your investment is structured correctly and everything is put into place. The next thing a lot of people have asked me about is emergency funds. I've constantly asked about it. I can't constantly ask about it. And the reality is, they're very far and few between. The rule of thumb is, and the cliche saying is, that one should have 3 months' worth of emergency funds. Why? Because if the pawpaw hits the fan and you lose your job or things go south, or you have a major expense, you're able to cover it without borrowing money. And this is money that should be in a money market account. Money should be accessible, available, and it should really be there to help you in the proverbial rainy day. South Africans, on the whole, don't have that. You'll find that there are definitely many who have far more than that. But most South Africans live on a really, really tight budget. The budget is made even tighter by the fact that they are really concerned about making sure money is put away and money is available for retirement. And that eats into the short-term savings. The other thing that eats into the short-term savings and emergency funds is school fees. School fees is something that has become very, very topical, very personal, and a major issue within South Africa. There are still very many brilliant, what we would call government schools, Model C schools, whatever the correct terminology is these days, where the school fees are modest and they're affordable and they're acceptable. A very active parent body raises money, does things, gets involved. And then you have private schools. And I think I'm talking to the converted over here, because if you look at the majority of Jewish kids, thank God, go to Jewish day schools. Jewish day schools get no government subsidies, they get no support, they're self-sustaining. Unless you have a school that has a really big benefactor behind it and is able to moderate school fees is the engine that runs schools. And so too for people who want to put their children in schools like St. Sidians, St. David's, St. Mary's. I don't know why I've just used three of the saints, but schools like that, just to paint a picture, are really, really expensive and very, very onerous. The secret is to make sure that you start saving for these events when your kids are very, very young. And I can hear people saying, yes, but I've tried and then I've had to dip in. But you've tried and you had to dip in. That's life. But the reality is that if you live in South Africa, there are certain givens that are just very, very expensive. And before we cry and decry our scenario with school fees, we need to know that school fees, for example, in Jewish day schools in America, is, from what I understand, more onerous than it is in South Africa. It is very, very expensive. So, yes, we need to put away for it and we need to save for it. And that's really what we need to be able to focus for, but we need to do it at a younger age in order to go forward. Let's look at one or two other scenarios that have come into play. The other one is saving for a deposit on a house. And this is most probably one of the biggest challenges that young people have. Because when you start plotting the scenario and you start putting it there out to them as to what the house is worth today, how much they would need for a deposit, therefore, how much they would have to put away every month to get to that deposit over 3 years, 5 years, all of a sudden the goalpost moves and the house value goes up. And in South Africa, you're very, very lucky that you can get bonds that are very, very high in the percentage to the value of the home. So, for example, if you want to buy a house for 1.5 million rand and your credit score is good and you have a lot to show and you run your accounts well, there's no reason why you shouldn't get a bond close to 1.5, if not the full amount or three or whatever it is. But where South Africans need to be careful when it comes to that is that the interest rates are very, very fluid in South Africa. They go up and they go down. So you might be able to afford it in a low interest rate environment, but you need to ask yourself the question, what's the highest interest rates have been in the last 10 years? Could I afford it at that rate? And that's what you really need to be looking at. Someone's just reminded me of something that I've often said and that they've done. Jeremy, thank you for the reminder. But if you buy your house, for example, in a high interest rate environment, and then interest rates drop, you would be so smart to call your bank and say, please do not drop my repayment amount. I'm used to paying X. Please keep it at that, because all that does is that allows you to pay off your capital so much quicker. More of your capital gets paid off by putting away more into your bond. But it's a discussion for another time. I was just touching on it because we're talking about saving for investment, saving for a deposit on the house. I want to discuss for the rest of the show the concept of conservative versus moderate versus aggressive. And the delineations between them, because it's not three silos, it's a duplication of many silos that stand next to each other, each one slightly different. And then you can have different investments with different silos in them. So on your retirement planning, you could be aggressive, or as aggressive as one is allowed to be, because it's a retirement product, and there are certain rules that are regulate how aggressive you could be. And there you could say, listen, I am in my 30s. I've got 30 odd years to put away. I really am forced to save because it's part of my company's pension fund. I want to be as aggressive as possible. And I really want to give this money all the exposure it can have to perform as well as possible. If those words were spoken by a person retiring in 5 years, that would be reckless, dangerous, and quite honestly, stupid. Because trying to make up for lost time by being aggressive is a guaranteed way to lose capital. The younger person is feeding in every month, so they're feeding in both the highs and the lows. They have time to allow the troughs to even out as the market lifts. They have time to be euphoric when they do really, really well. And they also have time to start adjusting as they're getting closer to retirement or as life happens and they maybe want to bring retirement age earlier, or they feel that they've made a lot of money elsewhere and they want to take this off the heat, so to speak, and just want to be a little bit more conservative. But you can have the same person who makes a deal with his wife who wants to buy a speedboat that's going to cost 200,000 rand. And the prices are not really going to change. And he says, well, the boat's worth about 150 today. In 3 years' time, it's going to be worth 200,000 rand. So 200,000 divided by 36 months. Is I'm going to put away 5,555 rand a month. Call it 5,000 because he says the balance I'll make up on the growth of the investment. If he goes aggressive, there's a good chance in 3 years' time that the 200,000 rand's only worth 160, 180, 190. It's not enough to buy the boat unless he puts it into an interest-bearing account where he knows exactly what he's going to get. But if he wants to expose it to a little bit of risk, so he can get a little bit of upside and use conservative funds, that is the same person who is aggressive on his retirement. Why? Because the time horizons are totally, totally different. And then there's the intermediate one, where they've got two small kids. Let's say they're twins. A boy and a girl, age three. So the boy has 10 years to his bar mitzvah. The girl has 9 years to her bat mitzvah, and they want to have it in Israel. And they sit down and they look at the costs today. And then they ask ChatGPT or Copilot or whoever else it is to tell them what the costs were 10 years ago and what the costs should be in 10 years' time. Just to get an idea, and that's not accurate, but just to give them an idea. And then they go to the investment specialist and say, right, we need to have a pot of money in 9 years' time of X and a pot of money in 10 years' time of Y. Help us save on a monthly basis to get there. Logic would dictate that the investment will be slightly more aggressive in order to allow them to have the opportunity to benefit from market upside. And that's giving you an idea of a long term, a medium term, and a short term. If it's anything shorter than that, then you need to look at a bank account. You need to look at where you can put, where you're going to get a good rate, where you're going to get a good money market rate, and that's the place to go. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 FM. And just on the last advert for the Bake Family Bakehouse, I challenge you, take a walk past it in Genesis Center and go and stop. Doesn't look like that's going to be possible. I've walked past it and been there many times. Great stuff. Do yourself a favor and pop in. But also just to let you know that if you're looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience, there's no better place than to advertise right here on Chai FM. Our listeners tune in every day for music, conversation, news that they can trust. Now, when you advertise on Chai FM, you're not just buying airtime, you're becoming part of a community that genuinely listens. Whether you're a small business or established brand, we'd love to have a conversation about what can make your brand work harder. So please call us on 061 895 1019, or you can WhatsApp us on 061 895 1019. Sorry, that's the WhatsApp number. Or you can email simpleinfo@chaifm.com and we'll reach out to you. Chai FM, part of your everyday, every day. And just to let you know, and this is one of my favorite adverts because it's an integral part of every Jewish home. It's a place that you go to get brilliant service, incredible advice, and it is just what you need, especially with Yom Tov coming up at the end of this week. You want to read something, you want to learn something. For 50 years strong, the Kollel Bookshop has been looking after everybody's Jewish book needs in South Africa. And now it's having its annual sale on the 31st of May to the 8th of June. Prices from 25 to 30% off on virtually all stock. Bar from displayed stock, there's never to be repeated prices. Place and pay for specials, including delivery. See you at the Kollel Bookshop from the 31st of May to the 8th of June. That is in the center there in Long Avenue. Right, coming back to investments, and we said we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about the idea of moderate, conservative, and aggressive. And we explained in the section before that those are broken down into really how long you have for your investment, how much can you expose it to risk in order to take advantage of it. But there's another side when it comes to it. And that's someone who says, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I'm conservative by nature. I never leave the house without an umbrella, a jacket, a spare tire, two cell phone batteries, etc., etc. I only want to be conservative in my portfolio. You need to ask yourself the question, if that's the case, why don't you just walk everywhere? Chances of having a car accident are far lower, but yet you drive. You travel by plane, you might even catch a train. You do things that expose you to risk. Yes, part of you is conservative, but part of you needs to take a certain amount of risk to go forward in life. And I am certainly not advocating that you become a daredevil. But what I am saying very clearly is that if one is too conservative in their portfolio, and if one does not add a certain amount of risk into the portfolio for a portfolio that's going to be there for an extended period of time, your portfolio is going to be worth less in years to come. And what I talk about there, I'm talking about inflation and real value. Let's take a straightforward example. Let's say a loaf of bread is 10 rand. But yet a loaf of bread goes up at 5% every year. If your investment doesn't increase by at least 5% every year, in 10 years' time, you will not be able to buy a loaf of bread with the money that you've invested that was the equivalent of the cost of a loaf of bread today. So if you allow your money to grow slower than inflation, what happens is it's going to be worth less in real terms. To use the general way of describing it, the basket of goods, picture a basket, a shopping trolley, a basket that you carry into a Checkers or a Pick n Pay or a Woolworths. What 20 items in that trolley cost today? What is the equivalent of what it's going to cost in 20 years' time? You need to make sure that your money is growing faster than what those items grow by in inflation. I've just got a message through from Jacob to say, ha ha ha, very nice, but our medical aid goes up by more than that every year. Jacob, you're right and you're also not so right. Medical aid inflation has its own parameters. It's not part of a CPI basket that is usually used. But we know that medical aid goes up between 8 and 10, maybe 11% every year. It's a given, it's a fixed. Not that I'm saying that it's not high. It is incredibly high, especially on an already very, very costly item. However, if you know what it's going to be, you can budget. It's when your electricity hikes 3 times a year, that's what wipes you out. When you have water tariffs that go up, when you have cell phone contracts that go up above that which you are earning on an increasing basis every year, that's what takes you out because it doesn't allow you to budget properly. But yes, medical aid is really, really costly. And I have obviously opened a can of worms because I'm getting some very rich messages saying that I've had to reduce my medical aid because I could not afford it, and now I'm running out of savings before half the year is done. That's a topic of discussion for a whole show, and it is the bugbear and the bane of many people's lives. It is most probably the single most expensive item, and I'm really, really don't want to come across as insensitive or blasé about it. On the contrary, but medical aid is something that we really, really need to look at, and we need to unpack. And I think what it would be most appropriate is to get a medical aid expert in, someone who deals primarily with medical aid, so that I could almost have a discussion and allow you to ask questions, and I could feed them through to them. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 11:50, 10 minutes to 12. Thank you so much for listening to us. We have really spent a long time unpacking different types of investments, different natures of them, how they work, what they're all about. And I would just like to end off by saying that just because you have funds in a certain portfolio doesn't mean that those funds can't be changed. Most insurance companies allow you to change funds multiple times during the year without a cost and without a fee. Please just be careful. If you're changing within a retirement environment, that's fine. It does not trigger capital gains tax. But if you're changing in a in retirement environment, you will trigger capital gains tax. And this is something you just need to be aware about. Please don't view capital gains tax as a punishment. Capital gains tax simply means you've made money, and therefore you need to pay gains on the capital or tax on the capital that you've made. Whether you pay it now or you pay it in the future, you're going to pay it. So please just be aware of that. At this point, I'd just like to wish all our listeners a happy Yontif. It is really a festive time coming up. All the bakeries in South Africa really go full out with all the milk products and everything that you can make there. Of course, the South African delicacies like milk tart, which is not really had anywhere else in the world. Please enjoy, indulge. Well done to everybody who is preparing so much to give over on Thursday night. And for those who are going to be out and about, please be careful. Please listen to what CSO has to say. Please follow directive. Parents, please make sure you know where your children are and where they're up to. Just really, really enjoy the time and enjoy the chag. We're also going to have a 2-day holiday here in Israel because it's a Friday and a Shabbos. So therefore, we also get the extra blessing this time around. Just again, Craig, to wish you and your family everything of the best. Craig's always there, always keeps me in line, always makes sure the show runs smoothly. Craig, thank you so much for everything you do for all the listeners. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.